couple of times with friends and kind of set with them as they've hunted, but I'm not a hunter. However, I have a deep appreciation for hunting culture. Justin Whitley, one of our students who attends here, he and I talk about hunting and fishing a lot. And I just ask question after question because I get so fascinated with this idea of hunting culture. It is a culture in and of itself. When I go home, my dad, who is a hunter, he likes to watch hunting TV shows because obviously there are those. There's one in particular that he's kind of got me hooked on, and I only watch it when I go home, but it's called Pig Man. P-I-G-M-A-N. Pig Man. Now, the premise of Pig Man is that they're wild hogs all over the countryside that do a lot of harm to farmers' farms, to families' homesteads, to various things. They're nuisances. You can hunt them any time of year that you want to in most places. And Pigman, appropriately named, is one of the best hog hunters in the world, and he's turned it into a business. And so he shoots pigs out of helicopters, and he shoots pigs out of trees, and he shoots pigs out of ATVs and all this various stuff. And as I watch it, what's interesting to me is maybe not so much what he's doing in the show, but the commercials. What I've learned from the commercials during Pigman is that you can buy anything as a hunter. You can buy apparel. You can buy ends to arrows that make them go straighter. You can buy all sorts of hunting paraphernalia. You can buy guns and bows and camo and cameras. You can even buy deer pee-pee so that you don't smell like a human. You can buy calls. You can buy all these things because hunting culture is just unbelievable. Hunting requires the tools that we see on those commercials. It requires the land to do it on. We wouldn't go hunting in downtown Wilmington. It doesn't make much sense. But if you're a good hunter, you don't tell people about your spot, right? There's certain places that you might go hunting that you would never tell people about your spot. There's a mindset. Here's probably one of the most amazing things about hunters is to me. They're consistent. They're patient. Their pursuit is almost never ending. They may be a little crazy, but it's impressive. I remember growing up in the country, guys would show up to school in camo because they had been hunting that morning. It's a culture that's devoted to finding and killing an animal for food many times. Now, what does that have to do with Romans chapter 12? And what in the world does it have to do with hospitality? In verse 13 of Romans chapter 12, we are told to be hunters. It says this, contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Hunt, go after, practice with enthusiasm, be eager to show hospitality. Hunt for hospitality. So when we read this word, seek to show hospitality, it's not as if we've lost our phone and we're trying to find it before we run out the door. It's more than just seeing this immediate need and running to it. Hospitality should become a culture that we are engaged in for and by the gospel. You know, to be fair, hunting isn't something that you can simply just do in your everyday life. Right? It takes time and money and effort. And so if you hear this analogy and you just think, I'm at the end of my rope, I don't have time for hospitality, know this, that hospitality can take many forms. Sometimes it can take great time, great patience, and great planning, but other times it can be spontaneous and more of a come join us in what we are already doing. The power of a mom inviting someone to the park because they're already going. The hospitality that extends. What that does for a person wanting to be included in a community. The power of some college students inviting another one out to dinner because they were already going. You see, it's a culture of hospitality. One that some of you absolutely love, opening up your homes, spending time, money, and resources, watching the TV shows and the commercials and all of that. You embrace hospitality. You're one of those hunters that just lives it and breathes it. But there's others of us who don't feel that way. yet God is calling us to practice it with enthusiasm, to be eager for it. I think in some ways we've made our places of hospitality too restrictive. We've discouraged one another that if I'm not a, quote, good homemaker or good cook, then I can't be hospitable. In RUF, we have area coordinators, which in some ways serve as pastors to the campus ministers. A new area coordinator, his name is Michael Gordon. He tells a story of when he was in seminary in St. Louis. He would go and regularly play basketball in the inner city. He would be most certainly an ethnic minority. He also tells a story and says that he wasn't that good at basketball, but he loved it. He would go play, and he said a lot of times no one would talk to him. No one would let him in the game. He felt like an outcast in some ways, but there were these two guys who each and every time he came and played and they were there, they spoke with him, they looked him in the eye, they gave him great dignity, they invited him to play on his team. One of them was kind of tall and lanky and had these big glasses, and people made fun of him for him. The other one had a silly name and was kind of an outcast, but these two outcasts brought in and showed hospitality to the ethnic minority in that case, welcomed him in, gave him a place to play. You see, sometimes we are too restrictive on the land that God has called us to be hospitable in. It can happen all types of places. It can happen quickly or over a four-hour meal. One of my favorite quotes that I've discovered in studying hospitality is from Helga Henry, who's the wife of a theologian, Carl Henry. Here's what she says. She says that Christian hospitality is not a matter of choice. It's not a matter of money. It's not a matter of age or social standing or sex or personality. Christian hospitality is a matter of obedience to God. You see, hospitality doesn't have walls. Hospitality doesn't have to be just in our home or just in our church buildings, though it should be. Hospitality can find itself in the classroom or on the street. It can find it in a crowded courtyard where there's nowhere to sit down, yet you invite someone to sit with you and have a 15-minute conversation. There are opportunities to pursue hospitality all around us, and God is calling us to hunt after hospitality. What are some of the opportunities that we've been given to pursue hospitality? We could spend all day. You could raise your hand. You could talk about ways that hospitality has been done to you. We could go through the scripture and see example after example of how God's people are hospitable to others. But today we're going to look at just four quickly as we think through opportunities that God has given us. You know, surprisingly, one of the first opportunities that we see in the scripture to hunt after, to seek after hospitality is actually in church leadership. I think this is fascinating. I think this is really key. I think it's really important. In 1 Timothy 3 and in Titus 1 is where we see the qualifications for elders, the leaders who lead this church. Those in leadership in our churches must be people who can look a person, a human, in the eye and communicate dignity to them. That's being hospitable leader. If a church is not hospitable, look at its leaders. I'm overjoyed that I can teach and preach this message because we have a church that is not perfect, but we have leaders who are hospitable. We have leaders who use the gifts that God have given them to give dignity, many of them opening up their homes on a regular basis to have visitors and guests and church members alike, to show hospitality to one another. And I think that our church is grabbing onto it. We see it over and over again of homes being opened, conversations happening, tables being set with food. It's a beautiful picture of the opportunity that we've been given by God in Scripture for hospitality is to follow our leaders. I think we have to have fair expectations on our leaders. As our church grows, there will be a greater need for people to follow our leadership in being hospitable for others. They're to lead, not to do it all. If we aren't following, then we're missing the importance of these verses in 1 Timothy and Titus. If we're not proclaiming God's creation and His dignity that He's given to this world, by following our leadership as they follow Christ and being hospitable. You know, I've got to apply this to my life. I'm a minister, but I'm also a daddy. I've got to ask myself the question, do my kids take cues from me to be people of hospitality? You know, are you newer to this church? Maybe you've been here for 6 months. For the new person that walks in the door next week, you are a veteran. You've been here 6 months. You have opportunity to show hospitality, to be welcoming, to invite people into your home or to a park or out to lunch or dinner. Just because you're newer doesn't mean that God is not calling you to extend Christian hospitality to others in the ways that you can. You see, our responsibility is not optional. We must breathe hospitality to those that God has, quote, put us over, given us opportunity to love. I love that God builds in hospitality into the way that He organizes His church, that it would be so important that in both the list, in 1 Timothy and in Titus, that He would say that our elders must be people of hospitality. Not the loudest, maybe not the best cooks. I don't know, maybe they are. But to be people who can give dignity to others by welcoming them, by giving them what they need. I thank God that He's at work in that in our church. Another thing that we see in 1 Timothy chapter 5 is that we have the opportunity to care for widows in our church. In 1 Timothy 5, 3 through 10, we see some guidelines and we see a picture of how the early church cared for those widows. We don't have time to unpack all of it, but let me say this. To be a church that really believes in hospitality will be a church that cares for the least of these, the orphans and the widows. To hunt after hospitality is to seek out those people who are in need and to help them. Those who are dealing with loss joyfully because the Lord is good and He gives and He takes away. But the church community is there to serve and to love. Here's what I think will happen. As we extend hospitality to widows, we will wind up being far more blessed than they will. Because in God's economy, He will do something in our hearts, with our faith, by His grace, as we serve widows. Another category that we're given, another opportunity that we're given as God's church to pursue, to seek, to hunt after hospitality, is that we might stand ready for when we're called to serve God's church. This was something that was just absolutely fascinating to me as I think about hunting for hospitality. So in the book of Acts, we see a persecution in Acts chapter 8 come to the church. And we see the church begin to scatter. We see some people scatter to begin to proclaim the gospel in various areas of the world. And what happens is these people go and begin to share the gospel, Christians begin to open up their homes for those who are teaching and spreading the gospel. They are ready in the midst of persecution to make their homes places of safety, where needs are met, where grace is given, where rest happens. And because of that, the gospel is able to be spread throughout the world. One of my favorite stories comes from Acts chapter 17. This happens right before Paul goes to Athens and gives this impressive speech that we actually talked about a month or two ago here at Christ the King. But in Acts chapter 17, verses 6 through 9, I'm going to read it. Listen if you can. The authorities were looking for those who had been teaching the gospel. And it says this, "And when they could not find them," when the authorities could not find those who were preaching the gospel, "they dragged Jason." Y'all, I got to be honest. I've read the book of Acts a number of times, and if you said, "Is there a guy named Jason in the Bible?" I probably would have said, "I don't think so." But Jason has become one of my favorite characters in the Bible. They dragged Jason and some of the brothers before the city authorities, shouting, "These men who have turned the world upside down have come here also, and Jason has received them." These men that have come to preach the gospel, that have turned the world upside down, they have come to this place, and this guy named Jason has opened his home. This guy named Jason has shown hospitality as God's church has scattered. They bring him out. They go on to say, and they are acting against the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another king, Jesus. And the people and the city authorities were disturbed when they heard these things. And when they had taken money as security from Jason and the rest, they let them go. What a beautiful picture of hospitality as a weapon for the gospel. Are we people that so hunt, seek, and believe that God is calling us to hospitality that we would lose our money and that we would suffer? I think we are. And I think if God calls us to that one day, He will use this church as a means, as a weapon for the gospel. A book that Rob lent me as I began this study on hospitality called The Hospitality Commands. This great quote: when visiting Christians come to live or temporarily work in our local communities, we have a responsibility to welcome and assist them in ways that are commensurate with our high calling as saints of God. They should receive help in being drawn into the Christian community, as well as finding a home or a job. Let us follow the example of Job, who could say, "The alien has not lodged outside, for I have opened my door to the traveler." As I was thinking about Jason, and I was thinking about this quote about our calling to seek after hospitality, it was really convicting to me the power that we have right now in 2017 in Wilmington. A number of years ago, I received a telephone call as a pastor in Raleigh, or an email as a pastor in Raleigh. A guy emailed me and said, "Hey, I'm moving from New York to Raleigh, North Carolina for a job. Could we meet up and hang out, maybe grab dinner?" And of course, I was like, yeah, I'd love to do that. So I met near downtown Raleigh this guy. We met for dinner. About 30 minutes in, he drops the bomb on me. He says, "I'm moving down here. I'm married, and my wife is not moving with me. I've made some really bad decisions, and I've been unfaithful in a lot of ways. And so I'm hoping and praying that she comes, but I'm not sure I want her to. But I'm here, and I was part of a PCA church in New York City, and I need friends, and I need help." What happened over the next month or two is that a group of guys from the church that we were in came around this new guy, this alien, this stranger, and they began to love him and share the gospel with him, even though he was a Christian. They welcomed him into his home. They took him bowling. They went out and grabbed drinks after work with him. They prayed for him. They showed him God's grace. And that man turned away from the unfaithfulness that was still calling him, reached out to his wife, who eventually moved to Raleigh. They have two kids, and they're members of the local church that I was a pastor of. They love people well. They're hospitable people. We've been in their homes multiple times. Think about the power of hospitality that we have today. How about the businessman or woman that travels, that shows up to church on Sunday, that lets us know that they're traveling? What does it do for that marriage? Or if they're a single person, what does it do for their purity if we invite them into our homes to let them know that the things that you can buy on television at the hotel are not worth it, or the women or men you can meet late at the bar are not worth it? What if we show them God's grace through being hospitable people? The power that we have as God's church today, we can stand ready for when we are called to serve God's church in those ways. You see, we hunt, we seek after hospitality. Let's follow men like Jason and be ready when God calls us. Another way that and we'll stop after this one for ways that are opportunities we have for hospitality. We can keep going. But it's to entertain strangers. We'll talk a little bit more about this next week, but Hebrews 13 tells us not to neglect hospitality to strangers. Now, I remember when I was in college, I took this to a literal place. Some buddies of mine and I were really convicted that we should be entertaining strangers. Okay, the end of this story is don't do what I did. Okay, and so we found a guy who was homeless and who had need, and my friends John and Nate, they had a spare couch that they could lend, and so we went out, we found this guy, we brought him, I think willingly, to their house. We said, we're here for you, we love you, we want to entertain strangers because we know that's what God's called us to, and the guy seemed really thankful. A couple days later, he stole money, a bike, and some food and drinks out of the refrigerator, and we never saw him again. Now, we pray for him and hope that that hospitality worked in his life, but actually, when the Bible talks about entertaining strangers, there's more of a nuance to that. One of those nuances we see in Romans chapter 16, where Paul is writing this letter, and he commends to those receiving it his sister Phoebe, a servant of the church. He says, hey, my sister Phoebe may show up where you are. You should receive her, even though you don't know her. You should show this stranger hospitality. It's not telling us, in one sense, to find someone that we don't really know walking down the street and bring them into our home. It's actually telling us to greet those among us in the faith that we can provide for their needs. You know, the Sheets have been helping our church be more involved in caring for refugees as they resettle here in the U.S. Some of these are dear brothers and sisters in the faith, and we welcome them not just to the States, but into our lives as we entertain strangers who become friends for the sake of the gospel. Each and every August, a new set of strangers descends on the city of Wilmington as 18-year-olds. They come to UNCW and they come to Cape Fear Community College. They descend as strangers. What does it look like for us to welcome the strangers, the 18-year-olds? How does it change their lives as they enter into our homes and enter into our churches? Do we pray for them? May we entertain strangers. You see, we have an opportunity to hunt after, to seek after the hospitality that God has given to us, to welcome people, to give them what they need. We have opportunity to do it together. In verses 4 through 8 of this passage, it says, for as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individual members one of another. We have different gifts, is what the text goes on to tell us. You know, not everyone likes me or thinks that I'm awesome. It's a tragic thing, I know. I face it every day. Not every student will like the way that I teach. Not every student will like when I sit down with them. Some of you may not like me, but I'm a sinner who will fail. We will never be able to bear the weight of all the opportunities for hospitality within our church and community. It's okay if we can't do it all. This is why God has given us both a formal structure of word and deed ministry in the local church and has also called us to organic and spontaneous hospitality. As we each pursue hospitality, we will begin to see where we fail. Pursuing hospitality will lead to seeing where we have need. It will lead to seeing where we fail, where we aren't gifted, where we can't be used. And I think that we'll be surprised that God will answer our need, not with a miracle of superhuman strength, or all of a sudden the ability not to burn toast, but He will bless us with others in our community of faith that are gifted in those ways. As we fail, we see new opportunities for more people to join in to the hospitality that God has called us to. This means that we need to have a better understanding of our gifts and our calling in life. If we're doing it all, we're doing it wrong. Remember what we said last week. Hospitality takes more people doing less, not less people doing more. There is an opportunity to do it together. And then finally and simply, we have an opportunity for the grace of God to grow hospitality in us and for the grace of God to grow us. I love what Paul says in verse 3. For by the grace given to me, by the grace given to me, by the grace given to you, I say to everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. This, my friends, this is the starting point for Christian growth and also the entrance into the culture of hospitality, that we might think of ourselves less, that we might look to the betterment of others more, the welcoming of others more. Brian Habig is a pastor in Greenville, South Carolina, downtown Prez. He tells a story of a guy who was in his 20s, who was an incredible athlete in college. He was well-rounded, really involved in campus ministry, well-liked. He led Bible studies. And then one day, he got Hodgkin's lymphoma. It was curable, but it was a rough road of treatment in front of him. As he went through chemo, every little part of his life began to wither. His health, his friends' schedules no longer matched up with his own. He was in the hospital one night trying to walk from his bed to the bathroom, and he collapsed. His body was so weak, and he said, lying there on the floor, unable to even get to the bathroom, he got it. He was leading no Bible studies. He had not felt like praying in months. He said that he was doing nothing for Jesus. And on the floor, there in the hospital, he said he finally got it. He said he got grace, that he was helpless, and he realized that God still loved him the same as he was on the floor in the hospital, as he did when he had everything together. This is a picture of where hospitality begins, with our need for a gracious God who gives abundantly, who will encourage us, show us, gift us, give us the land we need, the things that we need to do the hunting of hospitality. But it begins there, all on the same playing field of need, that God might work in this community. I pray that we be a community that seeks after hospitality and the opportunities that God gives us. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that your word is true, that it's challenging, that it's real. Lord, we thank you that your word constantly tells us, God, that we cannot do this by ourselves. Lord, that we need one another. But Lord, more than anything, we need you. And so, God, again today, we thank you for your great hospitality to us. It's in your name we pray. Amen.